body is ill and enfeebled, which is appropriate because the subject of this talk is trying to do it is feeble. But because it's such an important topic, I'm doing it even though my effort is not really good. In this talk, we're going to be looking back. And we're going to be looking back because it is necessary to unify these talks into a whole and not just a series of talks about a common subject. It is important that there is a centralized connection of everything into a whole, because that is a reflection of what we're trying to talk about in the cosmos. If we see things as a whole, we can see things that would not otherwise be available to us if we had just separate or disparate talks. And we're at a stage of development where the unity of the spirit is beginning to dawn on us, and that's important to this topic. The reality of this unity for our humanity as a whole doesn't detract from our respective individualities. In fact, it actually enhances them. We can do more as representatives of the universal spirit as a whole than we can as separate individuals. The more that we realize common unity and think with an eye to a common unity, the more efficient our individual and collective progress will be. The sooner we live in the understanding that each and every one must advance for any of us to advance, the better it will be. This doesn't deny making individual efforts, provided that that individual effort is not competitive or selfish or isolating. The spiritual reality is that when one advances spiritually in the right spirit, it raises the pitch, the background spiritual atmosphere, so that it is easier and encouraging for others to seek spiritual development. Spiritual enthusiasm can then become something like spontaneous combustion. And collectively, we can light a star of our humanity in that way. We just have to Tom Sawyer everyone into the painting activity. Now, it is not a distraction that there is a common focus and a common rallying individual through whom we all participate in humanity and through whom the whole is accomplished. In fact, it is a clarifying and a simplifying fact. It is especially important that we realize that the central human focus is the focus of spirit, and that central focus allows us to penetrate deeper into the spiritual worlds, into life spirit, which is the new kind of consciousness for the coming age. That one being has the character of altruistic love. And it is through that being that altruistic love is established. Now, in these talks, we are calling the composite being Christ Jesus. We are giving that name to the individual. And when we do that, it's not meant something sectarian. Because if it were sectarian, it would be separative. Would be counterproductive to the very unity that we're trying to establish. So please do not think that there's anything sectarian in this. In this language, we language has its limitations, and it doesn't have the spiritual power that language in the inner worlds has. It is, the name is not important. In the inner worlds, the name is very important. What is important is exceedingly important in my eyes, and that is the reality. It is exceedingly important to know that there is a central focal being. And that focal being is not only a doorway to higher spiritual worlds, but a doorway through which the character of those higher spiritual worlds can be seen or can be addressed. And so it is a very important, important thing. And it brings us to a new level of consciousness. If we focus on the reality and experiencing the consequences of the reality, we can go back and test and we can prove things, but it's all important that we work on that reality. Now, the fact that there are others that are pointing to that same reality does not detract from the fact that there may be a central focus, or there has to be a central focus. The parallel efforts of others working to that same end is reinforcing. The central focus is not detracted by parallel efforts in reaching toward it. Now, in these talks, we've had 3 introductory talks, and we've had 12 mandalic talks, or 14 if we include the one last week and this, and we've had 5 talks on novelty and creation and freedom and self-government and things like that. And then we've had 3 talks on the ethers and the next step in spiritual evolution. Now, before we can move forward, at least to do so in a reasonable way, we have to look back. We have to try to collect everything in our consciousness. And when we do that in reverse order, that central being was in the talk called the thing in itself, and it is that which gives new meaning to everything, and we can see everything better. Everything is not only tied together, but it is carried a step further. In doing that, we are calling this talk dénouement, one of those lovely French words that you like. If you were a pure American, you would say dénouement, but the real pronunciation is dénouement. And the term dénouement comes from literature. It is a looking back and tying everything together and finding meaning in everything. The best example of dénouement is in a detective or a mystery novel. When the detective calls everybody into the parlor, and when everybody has collected in the parlor, the detective says it was the butler. It's always the butler. the detective ties together all of the loose ends and the red herrings and all of the other things. We are doing this in part to practice what we preach. And we are doing it in part because this is the best thing that we can do. When we talked about the ethers and the etheric soul body, we said that the exercise of retrospection and looking at things in reverse order stratifies the ethers and separates the soul ethers from the biological ethers, so that a person is more capable of enduring in the inner worlds apart from the dense physical body. whether it's just on a soul trip at night or whether it is permanently, as it's going to be in the future when this world is no longer here. In that same talk, we also talked about how repetition of things produces a rhythmic activity in the etheric vital body, and that also organizes it. The etheric vital body is a very fluid thing, and the direction of currents, especially by wave action, is important to it. So it is to these ends that we're going to do this unwinding review. Another thing about looking backwards is that it relaxes us. It's very hard to be working and looking backwards without being relaxed. It also lifts us out of matter. That's one of the functions of it. But it is not the way things go in the course of nature, at least not right now. Right now, things always go forward, and forward motions wind us deeper into matter. So if we are doing an activity like this, we are doing something unnatural. All spiritual things are unnatural. Nature is passive. Nature is ruled by the gods and by the hierarchies. And if we are becoming spiritual beings, we want to be independent beings, and we want to move forward on our own. So let's begin our process of sneaking out of these talks by the basement door on the back side of the building, and take a look at all of these talks, mandalic and otherwise. Now, in doing this, we're going to what we do is going to be very, very scant. In fact, we could even be out of here as quickly as in 45 minutes. And because it would take a much more concentrated effort than was put into the notes. And we're also looking at notes. Some of the lectures in this series were composed over a period of 30 years. And so there is not a uniform quality to them. Some of them have been completely remade and redone so that they aren't anything like what they were originally. So in some of this, there will be a degree of immaturity, and that's the way it always is when you're dealing with first editions. The original creative intent is there, and that is very good, but it isn't polished, and it isn't carried out. Now, one of the facets of looking backwards is that we're always looking through the lens of the most recent events. And everything is defined by the recent events. And provided that the panorama of the past is something that in its development was progressive, then each step develops on the steps before it. And if that's the case, the newest thing can go down those steps, and it can see things and add things to them that were not seen there before. It's the way it always goes when there's a new discovery or a new tool is developed. In retrospect, the view of the past is such that everything else has changed in the light of what is new. And so then, in effect, every previous step in the process or in the development of something takes a step forward through the most recent step. Everything gets lifted up that way. It's a really beautiful principle. It's a principle that evolution works on. Now, let's hope that we'll be able to do a little bit of this. Now, before we started these two talks leading up to Denouement, the most recent talk was the thing in itself. It was the talk that was a homage to Plato, in that the talk was focused on epitomes, the centers of centers. And we looked at the highest initiate classes, and we we looked at the highest of the highest initiates, and we saw them as gateways to transcendental spiritual worlds, the worlds that are beyond concretion. And we saw them as representatives and agencies of the threefold spirit, the Godhead itself. We looked at them with regard to our development, especially we looked at them as reference points, living reference points that are rallying points. We saw that they were exalted in spiritual essences. They went deeper into the spirit than all other beings. And because of that, they could share with their cohorts like ourselves that have not penetrated that deeply. We saw that the thing in itself, or the highest initiates that have this focus, were archetypal. In every sense of the word archetypal, in the sense of a universal idea, the focus of universal idea, and as central creative thoughts, the thoughts out of which the cosmos is built, are involved in archetypal thoughts. All right, and we addressed such a being for our humanity. As we said earlier, we gave it the name Christ Jesus, though that for many people is religiously charged and is potentially misleading because a lot of people have feelings about that. Probably what we should do is something like Emanuel Swedenborg did. In the occult gossip, it said that Emanuel Swedenborg was the rebirth of Ignatius Loyola, and that he did his practice, his own exercises, and so in his next life he became very, very clairvoyant. And he talks many volumes about that central being for humanity. And as much as he is a very dedicated Christian, he does not use the name of Christ Jesus. He uses the name of spiritual savior or something like that, in order that it not be given a name. It was with great wisdom. If you ever get a chance, I've got all of the Emanuel Swedenborg spiritual literature here, not the geological literature and things like that, but it's amazing. He'll write in his diaries how he's looking in the spiritual worlds, and you'll see these divine beings, and all at once the divine beings will open up, and within and behind them on a more subtle level are more exalted divine beings. You'll go through about three replications of that, and at that point your hair is almost standing on end. You know, this is a firsthand experience. So that's what we're looking through. We are looking through a centralized being that saves us from our materialism, and that leads us to our next stage of evolution, and that is the lens that we're looking through for all of the other talks. Previous to that, the name of the talk was Humanity, Ethers, and the Aquarian Age. We were more specific in that talk, and we talked about the individual soul body of the higher ethers and how it was developed. And we talked about the internal guidance that we get when we have developed the soul body, so that the intuitions that come straight from life spirit could strike on the soul body, and if we recognize them, we could follow them. And because they bypassed the desire body and the mind, they were exceedingly important, because the lower nature can't get involved in that, and it's taming. Then it's fighting a two-front war. From above in the spirit comes one kind of control and guidance, and if we take the intuitions from below in the development of our personality, we close in on it from the other direction. We talked about the kind of inward consolation that we have if we have developed a soul body. in that talk, we also talked about the collective soul body, something for a true humanism, that humanity, by sharing a common collective soul body, is indeed a one. So that by looking at the one, that and in doing that does not involve necessarily following a religion, but realizing that that being is there, and that focusing on that as the human of all humans is a way that we get guidance. And we also saw that on rare occasions, if we ask for it and seek it, we get influxes of life spirit into our lives as grace. And we are cleansed, or at least we are comparatively cleansed. We have so much more positive in us that we can take the essence of that grace and live better lives as a consequence of it. And finally, we talked about that collective soul body being a result of every one of our soulful acts, and that by listening to the shepherd's voice, when the shepherd says, follow me, or when it says, I am the way, that we eventually will be guiding our planet as it passes forward in the evolutionary process. So you can see that when we look at the facts, we can see that there is a one central focus, and it's not like like a driver's education car where you've got two people that can steer the car or hit the brakes or something like that. By focusing on the central being, a lot of advantage is taken in the process. Previous to that, the talk was ethers, angels, and the Aquarian Age. And in that talk, we looked at the nature of the various ethers and their functions, both in our physical etheric complex and in our soul activity. We talked about attracting soul ethers and the kinds of things that we do in our daily lives that in fact attract them to us. And from that we can now see that since there was the incarnation of the life spirit into the etheric realms, we can see that in the ethers, things are much richer. They're much more meaningful. They're much more purposeful. So that the consciousness now is very different than the consciousness as it was several thousand years ago. We talked about some practical things. We talked about having no secrets. That when people talk about privacy laws, that may not be the most important thing, because eventually there will be no secrets. When everybody develops etheric clairvoyance, they will see the etheric thought forms of what other people are thinking. And some will take advantage of others, just as people take advantage now with data mining and things like that. But hopefully at the same time, as we focus on that central being and the divine love that is with that second attribute of the threefold spirit, that we will be constantly improved. Now we can see that with regard to secrecy and things like that, it's probably not a good idea to put a lot of effort into it. And to accept what comes to us and accept that what comes to us in faith. When we're talking about focusing on the life spirit, we're not talking about something that's small time. We're talking about a very deep dedication. And that often means major changes in life, especially when that dedication means that we have to live a life that we that is in concordance with that. In the Rosicrucian Fellowship, we often get letters from Africa, from people who used to practice the old power magic, doing things with witch doctory and things like that, where they would, whoever had the most power would dominate, and they would get into struggles with other people to overpower them and steal all of their power away. And then some of these people, with their clairvoyance, see the truth of esoteric Christianity. And when they do that, they become Christians. But they can't live that same way anymore. But they still have all of their enemies. And so they have to allow themselves to be open, because they cannot spend their consciousness on defending themselves. That's a very closing and negative kind of consciousness. And so there is a very great leap of faith in all of that. So, we're talking about here a recapturing of what used to be childlike innocence in a kind of virtue that is accepting of all things. Because the listening is an active activity, but there does have to still be a receptiveness and a willingness to follow that still small voice. In the talk previous to that, it was called A Look at the Ethers. And we looked at the general nature of the ethers, and we looked at Hieronymus machines and all kinds of things like that. And we saw the ethers in terms of cosmography and cosmology, and we tried to see where they fit into the process of everything. And we used a lot of analogies to get at the nature of the ethers, saying it is like this and that, or it's like that and that. In that, we were very much like the biblical Christ Jesus, because the biblical Christ Jesus always spoke in allegories, because the language that we have is inadequate about the nature of the ethers and the other higher worlds. And we especially focused on the fact that the biblical Christ says he comes as a thief in the night. And we looked at how we have to become more subtle in our lives. And in that talk, we began talking about the children of Adam and Eve and what they represented in human development. And we saw them as Freemasons and Catholics and the unfallen. And now, when we understand this central spirit savior, we can look at a completion and a balance of all of the polarities, whether they be simple polarities of this attracting or repulsing that in the ethers, or whether they are polarities in character, like the Masonic temperament or the Catholic temperament. And in the character of the Spirit Savior, there is a union of Freemasons and Catholics. And in that union, where the opposites meet and unify, that is how we can rise above it. In fact, we even talked about that union a little bit in the Rising of Lazarus. We also looked a little bit at the charge to healing and how our creative activity right now, because we are so indebted and in such bad shape, that our creative endeavors are less in creating the cosmos and the things that we in our individual lives create, but more in creation is put into healing. In the talk previous to that, we talked about democracy and the Aquarian Age. And we spoke of various different kinds of methods of government. And we spoke of self-government, individual self-government, and collective self-government. We spoke at that time of two different kinds of democracy: the unenlightened, which is basically mob rule, and the enlightened, that which is based on knowledge and on freedom. Now, because of this focus that we are looking through at everything, we can see that there is a definite connection between individual actions and its effect on the whole. As we become more with our consciousness in the ethers, everything that we do affects everyone around us, so that we see more and more of the unity of the whole life wave and our part in it. So it isn't just a matter of democracy in some things, governmental, it becomes our entire life. And we can now see that in an enlightened democracy, we are voluntary, and we even celebrate all of the responsibility that goes with our individual acts. And that harkens back, if you want to be biblical Christ, that harkens back to the statement of the biblical Christ Jesus saying, if you have done this unto the least of them, you have done it unto me. You realize that when you focus on a central being like that, you can be put in touch with any other human being and any suffering that any other human being has. This is an enormous consciousness that one has. The talk previous to that was called Evolution and the Aquarian Age. And in that talk, we began by speaking about the importance of order in the process of doing things. We discussed why it was important that some things had to precede other things. And we discussed that because the concept of evolution was made public not by spiritual leaders. It was by materialists, people like Darwin and such. And we tried to understand what that meant, that materialism was leading the way now instead of spiritual things. And at that time we concluded that this was an act of exigency to break the stranglehold that the materialistic religion had at that time. And might just as well let one form of materialism break the other one down. And at that time, we also discussed the bottom up of evolution based on looking at things from a materialistic point of view. We see things very different if we're looking up at something rather than if we have the cosmic perspective and we're looking inward and downward on things. We mentioned that at that time that the evolution of materialism from a materialistic point of view was a groping sort of thing that was based on interactions of matter and that it was based on chance. Now, from the viewpoint that we have in light of spiritual savior, we can see that we can find behind everything in evolution, not just that a bird is worth itself, we can see that a bird represents something in a metamorphosis of consciousness. And that metamorphosis of consciousness is carrying out some purpose. And when we have the life spirit, we have an understanding of things according to purpose and not according to things blindly groping along in the dark. And we can see now that it is important that we find purpose everywhere, because materialistic science has been democratized now and all sorts of people who are not old souls are doing scientific works. And it's unusual because when they do have spiritual needs, they often have a nostalgia for the old materialistic religions. And it's very interesting to see the inconsistencies in their thinking. If we find that purpose in our little lives by the same activity that we find purpose in a greater life, I've never had a life spirit kind of intuition that I didn't realize something that was true for my own life was something that was also purposeful for all of humanity. It's like that. The life spirit can't be anything but universal in that way. And we can see that's what it is all about. Right now, we're seeing, and we're seeing it played out before our eyes, that people who are not living according to the spirit and who are not finding purpose are really lost. They have no direction in life. But if you live by purpose, and if you focus that on saying, like, through this center, we can get at the meaning and purpose behind everything in the entire creation, we have what the biblical spirit savior would say, I give you life, life more abundant. So this is, I'm trying to make this talk both churchy and non-churchy at the same time. And because of that, it's inconsistent probably. The talk previous to that was called Freedom, Creation, and the Aquarian Age. We began by talking about freedom being something very different from liberty. And if you have two children and you allow one to throw temper tantrums, they will continue to throw temper tantrums and will probably end up in prison someday. Whereas if the discipline is developed and those emotions get channeled into some kind of art or something like that, the person eventually gets freedom. They get freedom to express their emotions, and they have the freedom to have even finer emotions. And we talked about different stages of freedom. We talked about doing what we have to do volitionally. It's a state of freedom, even though you have to do something, if you're doing it because you want to do it. If there is an authoritative power, that authoritative power loses it loses its ability to undignify your being if you're doing what you're doing freely. And then we talked about knowledge, having knowledge, and through that knowledge that we could choose between things. And then we finally talked about stage of freedom that is creative, that we're free to not only choose things, but we're free to make different options for ourselves. And so what we're seeing is, if we look at this in a cosmic way rather than in an individual way, and if we're looking at this through the influx of new creative spirit from life spirit, we have a second chance. We have the opportunity for forgiveness. And we have the opportunity of never having things be dull. Because it is like the biblical statement, behold, I make all things new. And so we are perfected and we are developed in freedom because we renew ourselves. And we renew ourselves by spirit. Life spirit itself being the source of newness. Also in that talk, we talked about progressive stages of freedom, like material freedom, to have the money to do what you want, and expressive freedom, to be able to say what you want, and then the freedom from things that comes with Scorpio and the eighth house, and finally, transcendent freedom that is experienced suspension of things. And now we can see that each of those states of freedom is something that we can respect in other people and they can respect in us because this has been humanized. The outlook in modern consciousness is very different than what it was in ancient consciousness. It is that now we look at things and we look at things and we can appreciate them, and because we can see the wisdom that is behind them. And we looked at that in terms of the Bible passage, freely have you received, and freely have you given. Now, freely have you received, now freely give. The talk before that was called Novelty and the Aquarian Age. And that was that very difficult intellectual thought taken from the mathematics of disorganization, not from chaos, but something that is even more disorganized than chaos. And we saw how all patterns came out of not patterns. And we saw that the unity of all things, of the one common unity, could only come if it was continuously different than it had ever been of anything before. And that in discovering that perpetual or that eternal difference, it had to be aware of all of the patterns. And the awareness of all of the patterns that are not it itself is how patterns come into creation as ideas. Looking at this now, we can see that this is the backside of the life spirit. The front side of life spirit is it's always expressing life, and that life is always filled with purpose. But the backside of it is that it can never be identified with anything. And because it is never identified with anything, because it is never identified with anything, it is itself capable of having everything else be identified with it. It's sort of like objects being precipitated out of light and being seen by new light. And it's sort of like being known by the same way that we are known. Talking about through Spirit Savior and through Life Spirit, we're talking about transcending. And in that transcendence, we do not get hooked on any of the particular details. It is the Spirit that wins by losing. This is one of the essential meanings of the whole drama of the biblical Christ Jesus. It was a very pure individual who is brutally murdered, and the people want him to be murdered, but it is not martyrdom, but in losing, he wins, or it wins, is a better way of saying that. And that we find that in the Bible verses of he that saves his life shall lose it, and he who loses it for my sake shall gain it. So we're talking about that kind of consciousness that we can see when it is focused in the central being. Previous to that, the talk was some factors of cumulative evolution and the Aquarian age. And we discussed attachment, we discussed encumbrance and blindness and boredom. And we discussed living in the past, because we are ruled by the past. All of our laws are legal precedents, some of them going all the way back to the Code of Hammurabi. And we can see now that if we give up what is called our burden of sin, and I give up the justice of having to see things by the law, we can do things by life spirit, which is the source of everything that is manifest under the law, but it also dissolves everything that is under the law. And we're talking in this about a whole new attitude, so that we are never overwhelmed by the past or held down by it. So we can now see the consequence of the law and its relation love, or to the higher purpose of love, and we can see it in that way. Previous to that was the Sagittarius to Aquarius talk. It was called Ideas, Ideals, and the Aquarian Age. And we just talked about transcendence and going as far as you can go with it in abstract thinking, the idea that God is God to God. Say that if you look to something above yourself, you transcend yourself for what you are now. And that when that collapses inwardly on us, that is what is involved in understanding divinity as manifest in the cosmos. In that talk, we discussed the Immaculate Conception, baptism by the Holy Spirit, and virgin birth. Now we can see through the focus of life spirit, we can experience something that is beyond self, something that is beyond that idea which would always be collapsing on itself. We can see that there is something that the problem of self, does not have to be extinguished, but by giving our consciousness of self over to the selfness through which it is created or from which it is created, we have a broad general spiritual understanding. We have an understanding now of the biblical version of it when Christ Jesus says, to know me is to know the Father. Or when he says, I am in you and you are in me. And when you have this focused on a spirit savior, it is both an individual and an individual that represents the spirit from which all individuals come. And it's sort of like there's that special focus. It is where the transcendent and the concretion come together. And so it's a very previous to that, it was the Aries talk. And in that, it was called Science, Technology, and the Aquarian Age. Basically, what we did in that talk is we discussed the idea of, by the sweat of thy brow, shall you accomplish things. And we talked about doing or being able to do things in a different way. We discussed how we imprison ourselves through technology and through removal from responsibility in what could be called Luciferic or satanic sins of commission and omission. And we talk about all these lofty things, and and have all of my sins before myself. And we saw ourselves being egged on to all of those Luciferic things of sex and violence, and then the reactive non-participation that comes from all of them, and we make them all very mechanized. The insights, the Luciferic insights, are partial truths. And when we have the light that is pure truth, as we get through life spirit, or as focused by spirit, the spiritual savior, we get beyond all of those incomplete partial things and all of the mismotivations in them. And we get beyond them to a state that is ego-free. And we can now see that this is a matter of love. And we can see that love is something that's curious. It has curiosity about things, and it attracts itself to things in order to take care of them. And this kind of curiosity is a very different thing than the kind of curiosity that we find in science. And in that, we understand the Pauline statement, all things are possible in Christ. All right. So we learned about the light that is beyond the light of in the shadow of turning. The talk before that was the Scorpio talk. It's called Regeneration in the Aquarian Age. We talked about the fall. We talked about death. And we saw light as being frozen. That even if we make light out of a fire, it is the wood that is in that fire is itself frozen light from another time. And we talked about the false light again of the Lucifers, and in matches, and we spoke of the choice of experiencing things by insight. We spoke of the need for regeneration and healing. Now, as we look at it now, I'm terribly sorry for this. It was difficult for me, and it's, I suppose it's unpleasant for you. We can see healing as creative restoration. That regeneration means to recreate something or to regenerate it. And in that process, we experience the new, which is again from the life spirit. And we see the principle of harmony being brought to us irrespective of discord. That in the ways of discord, we would keep ourselves savage scorpion rebels, and in accepting the love and accepting the grace that comes through this kind of a focus, we come to a greater harmony of things. So I'm going to have to start cutting this very short very quickly because my energy is not real strong right now. The talk previous to that was called Materialism and the Aquarian Age, and it was the Taurus talk. And we spoke of opacity. And we talked about boxes. And we talked about blindness and the consequence of our fall into matter, which separated us from spiritual insight and clairvoyance and all of those things. We can see that in terms of statements from the biblical Christ of saying, you have eyes, but see not. And unto you is given unto you is given a glory, and in etheric vision we can even see the seal that is in the forehead that is spoken of in Revelation. With resurrection, we not only resurrect our bodies, we not only regenerate our sins, but we take the stuff of matter itself. And we spiritualize it. And so we understand the responsibility that everything, including the matter itself, is something that has to be raised up by us. And has to be raised up by us by the living experience. It's the only way it can be. Even if it is something as little as taking it into our bodies and changing its consciousness by having it be part of our bodies. That's a small step way of doing it. Previous to that, the talk was the Aquarian Age and some problems of social instability. We began speaking of the metamorphosis and reformation of social interactions over time. We discussed disintegration as being necessary to individuation, and in that individuation coming to the kind of love that is the altruistic kind of love. And we can see that now, we can see that through having an example of that in a living being, something that we can refer to, not necessarily in a book, but in our inner consciousness, as something that we can commune with and be close with, we can see how that dissolution can take place. So that all of the things where we have been guided from without by society and by the divinities behind society, like the social mores and the religious laws and all of those things, are dissolving. And so as we approach the Aquarian Age, there is that kind of dissolution. And if we see that it is to the purpose of producing a unity where there is not a shred of focus on unnecessary separation or difference, it is a positive activity. The talk previous to that was the Aquarian Age and some problems of the mind. And we talked about a number of things that happened simultaneously. The birth of the mind, the birth of the self and the ego, the birth of waking consciousness, the ripening of senses, and the focus into the depth of matter. And when we say simultaneously, we're talking over hundreds of thousands of years, because we're talking in cosmic level here. And these things resulted in personal individualism or personal identification, and to a large extent, even idolatry of the personality and of separative egoism. Now we can see that sense at the very heart of things is at the center of the region of archetypes, where everything is focused on this center that is archetypal spiritually. And in concretion, we can have the rationality put into its place by the irrationality, sort of like the way we saw the irrationality when looking at the backside of the life spirit. We can then, being humble, we can unite mind with something that transcends mind. And since we're talking about the heart of all things, the center of centers, both in the focus as a being and in the focus of the whole cosmos itself, because that's where everything that became manifest in the cosmos all began, at the center of the region of thought, right at the very center, when our physical bodies were begun, when our vital bodies were begun, our desire bodies were begun, all of them began as a thought. And so we have that statement, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if we understand that we can think the way the divine spirit savior thinks, in that we can attune ourselves to that, instead of being little Socrates that love to argue and do things like that, we can make enormous strides. This is why this talk, even in a very imperfect way, is so important, because so many different things are in it. And then, what? Yeah, I think we can do that in 12 minutes. We're down to the last two pages of notes. Before that, the talk was called Humility, Hierarchy, and the Aquarian Age, which was the Capricorn talk. And we talked again about the benign protection of being blind, meaning to say that little children, if they had to compete with adults, they would develop inferiority complex. Shut off from the spiritual worlds is not only a terrible thing, but there are some positive things to it, in that it allows us to develop a confidence in ourselves, a confidence from which we lost, because certainly something within us must have known that we goofed horribly when we went into the fall. Now we can see that through all of this, we can have an intimacy of the that are now invisible to us. And in this, in the identification with this central being and the congealing of ourselves with it, we have an intimate interaction with the entire hierarchy. And in that intimate interaction, we have both humility and we have a self-respect. Pride that is in no wise negative. All right. The talk before that was the Pisces talk, Pisces talk, Pisces, called Symbolism in the Aquarian Age. We discussed mandalism, and we saw the semi-sextile as collapse and consolidation. And we saw that symbols were stopgap to relate us to the spiritual worlds during the time that we were in blindness. that the symbols perform a gateway. So there was a, let's just pass on it then. All of this was done. Things were to give us intimations of truth through symbols. Now, if we think of this in terms of Spirit Savior, and realize that there is a being that is a focus of life spirit, and that the consciousness of that being goes deep into the Godhead, it is a being. But it is not a symbol that stands for something else. It is a being that is a reality itself, and that by focusing on that, we open ourselves to the truth without the things that are concealed by symbolism, because symbols conceal as much as they reveal. And so what we're talking about is that through this kind of being, we're seeking to dissolve all of the forms and all of the things that are externally meaningful to us, so that we can see the truth straightforward. Now we know through a glass. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Or we will know as we are known. We talked before that with some thoughts on altruism. And we saw the connection between individual love and altruistic love. Now we can see through this being, through one individual, this one individual is the living essence of the altruistic love. So it's not something that is a vague kind of altruism. It's not something that's diffuse. It is something that is focused, but at the same time it's focused, it's not personalized. It has both of these qualities. And so when not only do we understand that we must love each individual in order to become altruistic, because each individual is a representation of that love, but by having this one central focus and keeping that at the front of our consciousness, we in effect do that. We do that for all of us. The talk before that was some factors of potential and the Aquarian age, which was a Pisces to Leo, working things from within and without, and from without in. We saw that the exotericism of Pisces, with its emotional feeling qualities, when it works its way back into Leo in the Aquarian age, it means that the esotericism will be heartfelt. And so what we're talking about here is that we're talking about a center that is both within and without at the same time. With the total point of view, we can see everything expanding and contracting as a whole, but yet at the same time, we can see a common individual center. And previous to that, the talk was called Spiritual Aspiration at the Dawn of the Aquarian Age. And we talked about the relationship of the nucleus to the field. We talked about how the esotericism of one age, in the case of our current age of Pisces, that the scholasticism and things like that works its way outward to become the science of the Aquarian Age. And in this, rather than having merely an accepting attitude, we developed an attitude of questioning. Only if we question, believing that there are answers, which are what is necessary in order to have the life spirit intuition, you have to believe that there are answers, and those answers are going to be true before they come through. Because the least little bit of negation shuts them all up. And so in this, when we look at this whole phenomenon, we see then with the Spirit Savior, we see some a place where all of our questions and all of our doubts can be placed and all answered. And before that, we had the three introductory talks, which would not be fruitful to go into. Now, this review, or this looking back, is very brief. It's very patchy. But it has that one central important point to it. The more that we focus on central being, and the more that we give ourself to that which is beyond self, and even if that is done through a focus so that individuation is not lost in the process in a very special spiritual savior human being, that is an important thing. And so this is something we want to have in our consciousness all of the time. It should be at the front of things. We're talking here about spiritual communion. And when we're talking about spiritual communion, we have the words of Christ when he says, "This do in remembrance of me." You think about it almost every day. Most of our day is not done in remembrance of that. So this is it is as neglected as it is important. So if you get anything out of all of these talks that we've gone through, it is this principle that there is a being, a focal being that opens us up to the truth, that opens us up to the future, that is the source of grace and intuition, and that the more that we can focus on that, the more pro-evolutionary it is. That's it. Next time, the talk will be very, very different. It will be all astrologic.